Radhastami ki jai. Radharani is a very secret part of Krishna's heart. Nisnatan Goswami has compiled Hari Bhakti Vilas, describes so many utsavs and festivals, Vaman Mahadwadasi and Magh Mas Brat and Kartik Mas Brat and Chaturmasya and Janmastami Utsav, Hari Bhakti Vilas. And Janmastami Utsav, there's 200 or 300 verses, padas, describing the Janmastami Utsav, Krishna Jayanti Utsav, Mahotsav. The pujas and the pots and the snan and the rituals and many things to do. And all the, and Shravan Dwadasi and the Sringa Chaturdasi and throughout the year, various Avirbhav Utsav, Thakurji, Bhagavan. But then when it comes to Radhastami, nothing. There's not one verse about Radhastami. Very interesting. Hari Bhakti Vilas, Sanatana Goswami, entire. It's sequential, one festival after the other. So it describes Krishna Janmastami. Then the next festival is Vaman Mahadwadasi, which is a few days from now. It's a Mahadwadasi fast. It's a Dwadasi fast. Very Pavitra. Pavitra and Mangalam. Pavitra and Mangalam Din. Very auspicious, very special day. Vaman. Thiya Keshavadrita. Vamanavatar, his birthday, his appearance day, very auspicious. But Radhastami, koine, not one shloka. But in different places, of course, it's mentioned about Radhastami, but there's no elaborate description. Although in Brajmandal, the Radhastami is the biggest festival. It's the greatest festival. Outside of India, Janmastami is huge. Huge festival, as you know. Radhastami. So the emphasis, that proves that the emphasis for the entire world of India, at least, Hindus, is Krishna Janmastami, Krishna Jayanti. The Madhvas, for example, Madhva Sampradaya, they consider Radharani to be an apsara. They don't consider her to be the Adi Lakshmi or the Sarva Shakti Mayi Radha. They don't accept that. They say, oh, it's some apsara that Krishna had some leela in Vrindavan, but we worship Dwarkadish Krishna, Udupi Krishna, but not Radha and Krishna. Go all over South India. I've toured twice South India, everywhere, every possible place, Vaishnav place. Not one Radhakrishna temple anywhere. There's so many Rukmini Dwarkadish temples. Dwarkadish, Rukmini Dwarkadish. So Radharani, this tattva is very secret, very hidden thing. Generally for several years we were either in ISKCON or Barsana for Radhastami. This year somehow we were blessed by Gopinath at Radhakund, and we were able to have darshan of Radharani's Abhishek at Radhakund. And we realized that Radharani's Abhishek at Radhakund is probably the sweetest Abhishek of Radharani in the entire universe. The place is good to keep your ears open, your eyes open, and your ego closed. Don't measure, don't weigh, don't pass judgment. Simply take in, absorb. As they say in some hip literature of the 70s, grok. You should grok your environment. G-R-O-K, grok. Absorb it. And later think about it, hear about it, inquire about it, try to understand what it all means. And what we find out that this feature of ladies making peacock sound or ululating is in a spiritual world. in Shiva's Angam in the spiritual world, and kirtans going on, and Malini and Sachi Mata and Vishnu Priya and Lakshmi Priya, when they're all inside the house looking out through the windows at the Shiva Sangam, and all the their husbands are dancing in Sankirtan and Vasulas in the nocturnal kirtans in Shiva Sangam. Then they're chanting, and they're all together inside the house, and all the men are dancing together in the courtyard of Shivas's temple. And they start chanting like that. Oh, no, 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 no. And Lord Chaitanya, when he hears that, and he dances even more. Krishna reciprocates with the peacocks. When he plays his flute, they dance. And then when they dance, Krishna gets excited and he plays his flute even more. And sometimes Krishna starts dancing with the peacocks while he's playing the flute. Then Radharani says, "What's this? You're supposed to dance with me? I'm Rasheshwari. And you're Rasaraj. Why are you dancing with the peacocks? I'll dance with you. So then they start dancing like peacocks. And the peacocks are dancing around them, and Radha and Krishna are in the center dancing like peacocks. And then they get so excited, the peacocks, that the males drop a feather. So when Krishna is dancing with Radharani like a peacock, there's more lila, more notched lila, then the peacocks get excited and they throw a feather. Then Krishna, he says, this is, you're offering this to me? Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakti prayachati. You're offering this more punk? This punk, this feather? Very nice. And Krishna takes it, dong, puts it right in his chudakara, in his top knot. He says, this is my crown. This is my crown. And I have a peacock feather on the top of my top knot of my hair. And the peacock feather has an eye on it. And that's Krishna's eye, watching us. So Krishna's looking at us. The Abhishek went on, and then when the Abhishek was over after a half hour, and then one rather strong, because Radharani's fairly large there, like so, and then one that's part of the temple there, he picked up Radharani. He picked her up, and I thought he's going to the main altar, set Radharani next to Krishna, and then they would close the curtain and dress and dry her. So then he picked her up and he turned around to the audience and he held Radharani up like this. Just like this, because he's strong. He's just holding straight without moving. And Radharani's 2 feet are like that, and she's like that, with her white bathing outfit all full of yogurt and ghee and she's just standing there, and her feet were basically about, when you're standing there, look, as you measure like this, looked about 6 inches above everyone's head. And everyone simultaneously felt like a wave, like Prima Taranga, or Kripa Taranga, Radha Kripa Taranga, a wave of mercy, a wave of Kripa, Taranga Kripa, Prima, came washing right from her feet, it just like, whoosh, went over top of everyone's head. And everyone's reaching out, Radhe, Radhe, like that, to reach out and try to, you know, extend Angani Yasya Sakalendriya Vritimati, reach out and try to get that mercy. And it, everyone had this, simultaneously had the experience that everyone's being bathed by the mercy of Radharani. And everyone's looking at each other like, what happened? What happened? You know, our chests were like, hanta, hanta, hanta. Alas, alas. After that experience of Abhishek, then my mind went to Madhav Mahotsav. Madhav Mahotsav is a classic Sanskrit book, a poet, a drama. Actually, it was written as a drama with scenes, different set scenes, and act one, act two, scene one, scene two, the Nayak and Nayaka, hero and heroine, Vibhav, Anubhav, Udipan, Stahivav, Satik Bhav, Sanchari Bhav, everything. Madhav Mahotsav. This is the book that Sri Jiva Goswami Pad, he wrote under the inspiration of Rupa Goswami. This pastime is mentioned in the Kartik Mahatmyam of Padma Puran, and also in Brihad Uttara whatever it is, Uttara Upanishad, whatever, in several places, this coronation of Radharani. So Krishna, he got together with Purnamasi Yogamaya. He said, listen, I had a huge utsav at Govindakund, and Indradev and Suravi and Subdevata, and all the devatas came. Indra, Chandra, Surya, and they all came and did puja. And they made Govindakund, Govinda Charanamrita. And I became famous as Govinda. Before I was Nanda Nandan, Yashoda Nandan, Nanda Dulal, Gopal, Gopal Kumar, this, that, Rajendra Nandan, Rajendra Sutta. But now I'm Govinda. This name I got, Govinda. But actually, I want you to arrange a festival to make Radharani the queen of Vrindavan. She is my Ishwari. I am Ishvara Parama Krishna. But my Ishwari is Radha. Radha is my Ishwari, the controller of the controller. So I want you to arrange a festival to honor the Ishwari of my heart, the controller of my heart, and the controller of Vrindavan. Vrindavan Ishwari Radha Ki Jai. But you have to, because Radharani is Lajeshwari. She's Laja. She's very shy and modest. So you have to hide this festival with a different name. Rather than calling it Radha Raja Abhishek Utsav, call it Sri Madhav Madhav Utsav. Madhav. So it's called Sri Madhav Mahotsav. It's named after Krishna, but it's all about Radharani. Other Krishna's there, taking part, active part. And Krishna told Purnamasi Ma, please call all the devis, because this is a ladies' festival. So all the Shaktis should come. Uma should come, and Shachi should come, Arundhati should come. All the great female personalities should come and Abhishek, or Radharani. So this was performed near Chata in a village called Umrao. Umrao. Umrao means queen. The word Umrao means queen. So this festival, Utsa, was performed in Magh Mas. Magh Purnima. In cold time, January, February, Magh Purnima. And it was held there. And it's very beautifully and sweetly described in Sri Mata Mahotsav. And we, of course, we published that book in English. And after seeing this Abhishek of Radharani today and having such an incredible experience, and Krishna blessed us because we didn't have a firm plan to go there exactly. So then we thought, I want to hear more about Abhishek, Radharani's Abhishek. Because in this Madhav Mahotsav, there's 9 different Abhishekes. Radharani is bathed 9 different times. It's a whole elaborate, it's a whole book. It's like 90 page book about a bath. A 90 page book about an Abhishek. Establishing the pots. And so I'm going to read some of those different bathings. And so many, first I'll, there's so many, it's really beautiful to hear about. This is Nitya Leela. As I mentioned, all the ladies of the universe came. Seeing, this is the Abhishek arrangements. You have to be a little patient. Of course, you have 2 options. You can sleep. That's always available. Or you can half sleep, half stay awake. That's the second option. Or you can chant japa and deeply meditate on it if you're really energetic and not fasting. Or you can simply hear with the eyes of your heart and try to transport your mind and heart and subtle body to the realm of this reality. Transport your subtle body. Link the, what is it called? Shukshma Sharira? Subtle body is called Shukshma Sharira? Yes? Transport your Shukshma Sharira to this reality of this transcendental realm where this Abhishek is going on. And we will see the smiling eyes of Purnamasi as she prepared for the Abhishek. Seeing her eyes brought happiness to everyone present. As the moon on Purnima automatically destroys the darkness and makes the roaring ocean overstep its shoreline, Gokula Chandra, with the express permission and blessings of blissful Purnamasi, sounded his flute to destroy all obstacles and inaugurate a grand festival filled with music. Murari playfully made a competition between the flute and the festival. With the flute he bewildered all living entities, and with the joy and the grandeur of Radharani's bathing festival, he brought them back to consciousness. Of all the extraordinary events in the festival, the most remarkable event was that everyone attending the festival became a musician. That would be great. If everybody knew how to play kartals and mridanga and sing on key. Something extraordinary. Individuals in each group took up dancing and singing according to their own style. And then they exchanged their styles with other groups. Look, this is our style. Oh, this is our style. Celestial music was made by the rumbling of clouds. The dancing of the apsaras was the flashes of lightning. The showering of flowers was the sheets of white hailstones. And the singing of the Gandharvas was streams of sweet nectar. The Devatas were showering flowers of mango buds with pollen. Turmeric and rice and bilva leaves were falling from the sky. When all these auspicious elements joined in this way, Uma, who's Uma? Consort of Lord Shiva. He's called Umesh. Umesh Shankar Sharma. Right, they have names like that. Uma, taking permission from her followers, Chaya and Sangya. Who is Chaya and Sangya? These are all females, remember? Gandharvas and all that. Uma is whom? Parvati. Who are the wives of the sun god? Suryadeva's wives, Patni Kone. Chaya. Chaya and Sangya. Yeah, all knowledge. All knowledge and shadow. Chaya means shadow. Shadow. So who are the two wives of Surya? Sangya. So in the shadow, there's all ignorance. Darkness, no clarity. And in, when there's all knowledge, then it's full sunshine. So they're the followers of Uma. They began the glorious worship of Radhika. Could any other coronation compare to this? Everyone's eyes burst into joy as the Abhishek began. Did they swell up in order to fully taste the beauty of the event by some yogic power of Mahima City? Or did they fill with increasing beauty due to the worship? All the rituals that Uma performed with beautiful flowers, durva grass, puffed rice, white mustard seeds, purified by mantras, they greatly pleased Radha and the assembly. Uma placed the argya on Radhika's head. It's not on the feet, argya. Idam margyam, kling krishnaya namaha, idam argyam, argya. So it's put over the head. Removes all inauspicious things. The argya is mixed. Argya is durva grass, water, flowers, chandan and rice. This is argya. Itat padyam, idam argyam, idam achmaniyam, esha maruparka, idam punar achmaniyam, sringkling radhakrishnabhyam nama. Puja. So she offered Radhika, argya on Radhika's head. In the eyes of the assembled devotees, the Arya seemed to be a most valuable item, whose beauty defeated that of gateways and archways. While offering padyam, hidam etat padyam sringrang radikaye swaha, Uma said, "O Radha, we are approaching you now and will also come in the future with a desire to participate in your pastimes on the banks of the Yamuna." The drops of achmaniyam that Uma offered to Radha contained the reflection of Hari's lotus face. Harivo. This is etat padyam. She was offering water to Radharani Charan. And those water droplets was the reflection, the pratibimba, sham pratibimba. Each drop was sham pratibimba. Because he was watching from a distance behind the foliage. The kunjas, you know, interstitches, they say, interstitches of the spaces between the foliage. He was watching the Madhav Mahotsav of Radharani being bathed. Only ladies were there except Krishna. Ah, Arya, Padya. And so the author is saying that he could not avoid his face being in those drops, because when Uma was offering that Arya with a conch, then Krishna is watching minutely every drop of that water as it fell on Radharani's feet. Because he was watching it, then that captured his image in each drop, because he was watching it. So then that drop went out and took his image from behind the kunja and put it in the drop, and a very beautiful meditation. This is Vilas Manjari. Jiva Goswami is Vilas Manjari. Sri Jiva Goswami Pada Ki. Oh, this is to the mouth. This is to the mouth, actually. Achman's to the mouth. Had contained reflection of Hari's lotus face. Oh, that's very interesting. That now makes it more interesting. This is achman. Achman you offer to the mouth is some long, or nutmeg, or jatifal. Jatifal or long, crushed into powder, right? Jatifal, long. Cloves or nutmeg? Jatifal? Jaifal. Jaifal or long. Make a powder karke and some pani. So this was being offered, idam achamaniyam, to Radharani's mouth, like a mouth freshener. And the reflection of Krishna's face was in that water. So what does that mean? Chumbak. You know chumbak? That water that Uma was offering to Krishna's face was actually to Radharani's face, was Krishna's face, offered to Radha's face, which means Ananda Kanda Bhagavan Ki Jai Jai Shri Radhe Shyam. Now, how did Radharani respond to Achmaniyam? What was her response? With trembling lips. That proves the point, right? That Achaman that's being offered by Uma is Krishna Dara Adhar. It's Krishna's Adhar, his lips. And Krishna Adhar Amrit. Adhar means lips, Adhar. And Amrit means the nectar of his lips. So when Krishna kisses Radharani, with trembling lips, Radha uttered cries of ecstasy. It is a fact that when a person has a great desire for an object, anything related to it gives joy. Thus, when Uma offered Madhuparka, Esha Madhuparka Sringrang Radhikayeswa, Radha felt completely satisfied, thinking that in that Madhuparka was the remnants of Hari's lips. That's what we're supposed to think when we take prasad, prasad seva. When we take prasad and we should think this is the Krishna Adhara Amrit, the nectar of Krishna's lips. Radharani's thinking that. She's feeling it, seeing it. After all the articles were offered, Radha received Achmaniyam again. Punar Achmaniyam. At this time, Radharani appeared like the sun in Jaste, destroying all darkness in all directions with her brilliance. The sun in the Jaste month. Uma then offered various scents, aguru, chandan, kasturi, and kunkum in flowers. The loud buzzing of the bees seemed to make Krishna's heart dance. When Uma offered aguru in agarbati to the Radha Anga, limbs of Radha, Krishna's heart became scented with many desires, because Krishna's watching. So when the aguru was being offered, then that aguru was being offered to Radharani, to her lotus feet and her nabha and her kanta, shir, anga. Then the wind is blowing, the Irshamir, carrying that agarbati right to Krishna. And when he's smelling that agarbati, because there's two types of aguru. One aguru is called Krishna aguru. It was a dark one. And the other one is just aguru. Tail, it's a tail. So there's a dark one. So when they were, that incense was Krishna aguru. So Krishna aguru means that scent that was being offered was Krishna. So when that came from Radharani, after being offered to Radharani's body, then it says here that Krishna's heart became scented with many desires when he smelled the fragrance of that Mahaprasadi agarbati from Radharani's anga. Then his praying became ulas. That became an udipan to stimulate his vibhav, his love for Radharani. The ghee lamps that Uma waved before Radha kindled many loving feelings in Krishna's heart. As changes in the environment immediately affect those within it, similarly, everything affecting Radha also affected Krishna. Uma then performed arti with a jeweled bowl containing fresh barley, durva grass, ashwat, branches, and flower buds. At that time, it seemed that the eyes of everyone and the whole assembly were performing arti to Radha as well. So everyone was offering arti with their eyes. You know, just going like this, offering arti, ringing the bell. So everyone's eyes are going like this, looking at admiring the beauty of Radharani. And then this is the arti. And then the Gandharva girls arrived, expert singers and the friends of Chandrakanti. Purnamasi offered them to sing about the pastimes of Radha and Krishna and to depict them with clever expressions. Seeing Chandrakanti in Radha's body, the Gandharva girls became happy. Composing new songs, they sang high and low notes for the pleasure of Radha in the assembly. And it goes on to describe all these songs they sang. This book, you can read this till the end of time and not run out of new ideas for meditation. You can read this book until the end of time and not run out of new ideas for meditation. And it's so thin, and time is so long, and the mind is so vast. This one book can fill the whole landscape of your mind with the pictures of Radha and Krishna and their Nitya Leela and the bhavas and so much tattva. So the first bath, this is the pre-bath called the earth bath. Bhumi snan. Interesting, huh? Roll in the dirt. First the Sakis bathed Radha with water, and then they bathed her with eight types of earth. There's eight types of water. There's well water, there's river water, there's lake water, there's eight different kinds of water that are mentioned in Ayurveda. There's light water, there's heavy water. There's pungent water, there's sweet water, there's mineral water, there's many, many kinds of water, and they have different attributes and qualities for health. It's the same thing with earth. Now listen to this. Eight types of earth. Earth from the bank of a river, from a tata, a nadi tata miti. The earth from the bank of a river that has particular characteristics, particular qualities, lakshana and guna. Second type of earth was that earth that was dug by a sewer, a wild boar, a wild pig has these big horns, what do you call it? Tusks. And he goes out in the forest and he digs holes. Why? Because he looks for roots. He looks for roots, you know, roots and slugs and all kinds of little rodents and insects that live under the earth. So he's like one of these JCVs. A JCV? What's it called? JCV. So he's got a built-in JCV. So he goes out there, then he digs like that and he finds something. Puts his nose right into it. Put your nose into your work. That's from them. They get their nose right into it. So then they get something. So when they dig up that earth, then it takes on certain qualities. For example, I read several studies when I was involved in a little bit in the East Coast with Gita Nagari and our temple. And they've done studies where they plowed fields with tractors. They plowed the fields with tractors. And then a field right next to it, they would use bullock carts. Bale, hull and a bale. And then for 2 or 3 years, they would plow the fields and grow crops and plow the fields and grow crops. Side by side fields. And what they found out is, the conclusion of the study is that the tractor runs on up and down the earth and then the earth is the same. But as the bullock, when the bullock is walking with his hooves, the bale is walking in the earth increases its fertility. The earth gets more nitrogen, the nitrogen content increases, the uric acid, everything increases just from the, and he's not passing stool and all these things, so it's not because it's a controlled experiment. It's not from the gober, just from the contact of the hooves. So knowing that is kind of a diabolical thing. This is the Western scientist. So knowing this is a little diabolical, that the hooves of the bull have some special effect to energize the soil. That it sounds kind of, it's kind of demoniac, but what they take is, you know, after bulls are finished, so to speak, they put their hooves in the ground in the fields to increase the fertility of the soil. It's a natural fertilizer. They're kind of using it in a diabolical way, but it's better to keep the cows alive. So the point I'm making is that when soil contacts something, it can become changed. So when this soil contacts the tusk of the wild boar, it becomes some kind of, takes on a special quality. That type of soil was used for Radharani's bath. Because there's something about pigs are pure, even the hair of a pig. The bristles, pig is a dirty animal, everyone knows. But the bristles, it's called bristles, means the stiff hairs on the body of the pig, they're used in puja. Vraha. Kusa, when Vraha shook his body to dry his body off, some of the hairs fell off. When they landed on the earth, they came up as kusa grass. So in this puja, when they do puja, they sprinkle some, when they do abhishek, they sprinkle some turmeric, halvi, or some other rice flour, different things they sprinkle, like this. They use pig bristles from a boar, wild boar, like this. So it's pure. So the earth from the pig, and then earth dug by a bull's horn. When a bull's always going, when he puts his horn in the earth, that earth takes on a special quality. Earth from a doorway. Doorway. Now there's some temples or whatever, there's some doorway, and then there's entranceway. So right where the doorway is, you dig the earth there. From a door, you know, what do you say? Darwaza. Pravesh. There was a pravesh. From there you take the mitti. From an anthill. The earth from an anthill. The earth from the bottom of the ocean. The earth from a temple. Lots of dust. And the earth from underneath the Ganga. These are all different qualities of earth. That's why when we go to Mayapur, we take the mud from, we go inside the Ganga and pick up the mud, and put it on our bodies. We lie in the sun in March and February. It's nice and cold, and warm sun. And then what we find is that mud, that black mud, takes all the poisons out of our body. We feel very healthy. Our stomach becomes very fresh and also cool and very clean. Anyone's done it? Fantastic. So Radharani is, the water and earth were permeated with the fragrance of the lotus feet of Hari, who wanders everywhere. See, the whole thing about Rasa Shastra, that you'll gradually discover when you read minutely descriptions of the landscape or the birds or the animals, especially Ananda Vrindavan Champu, Srimad Bhagavatam, and all these rasa granths, all the analogies and metaphors of nature and the plants and the leaves and the latas and the trees and the male and female birds and the earth. It's all full of madhurya. It's all Sringhar Ras. Sringhar Ras means the conjugal erotic love between Radha and Krishna. And it's all saturated, there's innuendos, and it's all indicated there. So this is, and that's why it's saying that all this earth was brought together from these eight different places, but Krishna wanders in all those eight different places in various forms. And all that, so that's why it's saying that when all that earth was collected, the sweet fragrance, it says that all this earth and water was permeated with the fragrance of Krishna's lotus feet. Because he wanders everywhere. He wanders everywhere in the Goshta. That sweet fragrance spread in every direction. By the Panchagavya bath, they bathed Radharani with cow urine, cow dung, dude, ghee, dahi. Radha, full of desire, stole the five knowledge-gathering senses of the Sakis. So with these five substances, she stole it. Did Radha also release five arrows of love in the heart of Murari? It's all, in other words, Radha's having Abhishek. But all the Devis are there, and all the Sakis and Manjris are there. But there's some Leela going on one level, with all the Devis and the Sakis and Radha. But now, there's another Leela going on with Radharani and Krishna. Because Radharani knows that Krishna's hiding there. So then the author of Vilas Manjri, the Manjris know that there's this whole other level of Leela going on. It's like hidden talk. Like you have some friends and you want to talk something that, and they don't know Hindi, so then you speak Hindi and he's left out because he only knows English. So he's there with you, but he can't catch what you're saying because it's a different language. So the demigoddesses, they don't have any access to this Ujjvala Shringha Ras of Radha and Krishna, but the Manjris do, the Sakis do. The Devis are bathing, oh, it's so wonderful, there's these fragrances and all this, and they don't even know that Shama's hiding in the Kunja, observing and feeling and watching and emanating and radiating and interacting with Radharani's Bhavas, and so much exchange is going on. His book is actually very, very deep. Very, very deep. And 20 and 30 years from now, then all of you students will start to appreciate it. And this book came out after 25 years of my bhajan. And what year was it? I don't know. 2000. So 25 years. 75 was initiated. Some bhajan grows and develops and deepens. So you have everything. Ardha chanting, you have sambandha, Gayatri. You have everything. You just dive deep. Put on some tanks. Put on some scuba tanks. And go down. Further than you think you can go, keep going. So this is Panchagavya. Okay, Panchagavya, so what? Okay, Panchagavya. No, this Panchagavya is five arrows in the heart. The cow dung is one arrow, and then the dahi is one bana. Dahi bana. Right? Bana means arrow. Gobra bana, dahi bana. Dude bana. So the Radharani, they're pouring Panchagavya over Radha, and when Krishna sees that Panchagavya, then five arrows hit his heart. Kamadev is Panchashare. Panchasare is another Dusranam for Kamadev. Kandarpa, Panchasare, Manmata. Manmata is the name for Cupid. Manmata. And Krishna's name is Manmata. Krishna. Starting from the east and ending in the north, the Sakis held pots made of gold, silver, and 16 types of earth. The previous 8 types of earth plus earth. They had pots with earth, right? 8 pots with 8 different kinds of earth. Now there's 8 more kinds of earth. Did you know that? There's 16 types of earth. The earth from the door of a king. Raj Mithi. This is extraordinary topics. The earth from the juncture of four roads. Chorai. We're in the middle. Because they didn't have cement roads in those days. And asphalt roads, they had mitikarasta. So the earth from the four roads, four charasta, bhumi. Little plug for pure living. No? Then, the earth dug by an elephant's tusk. And all these guys, they don't want to be, all these big heroes don't want to be left out. The bull, my horns. The elephant, my tusk. The boar, my tusks. They're really throwing their tusks there. Then the earth from both banks of a river. Hey, you know, that's special when you mix the two banks. Ek tata, dusra tata, dono tata. Dono tata miti. Then the earth from a cow pen. Cow pen means goshala. That's very purifying. Whenever we go over here to pet the cow or feed the cow, there's a road that goes around. You can walk on that road around and then feed the cow from the road. But I deliberately, because I'm going on Parikrama barefoot, I deliberately enter into the goshala, walk across the goshala, and go inside the goshala and approach the cow. Because I've read in so many shastras, as soon as you touch your feet on the earth where a cow has walked, so many sins go out of your body. So many sins go out of your body. You know, there's a road out here in the corner. It goes like this and like that. You know, right at the corner. There's a cow right there. You can walk on the road, and there's a trough right next to the road. You can put the food in the trough, and you can eat it. Or you can lean over. Because there may be cow dung in there. You don't want to step in the cow dung. That's very bad. Don't step in the cow dung. So you stay in a rasta, nice, clean feet, clean Reeboks, everything nice. I'm not wearing it. I'm there. So I go right there. Oh, I stepped in cow dung. Oh, bliss. Nectar. So that's why he's saying this earth from the cow, from the goshala is offered in Radharani's Rajabhishek. Radharani ki jai. There's a lot of earth here. Let's get down to earth. And let's not forget, there's also the earth taken from where three roads come together, called a Y junction, no? And then there's also earth from a village. Village earth, not Delhi dirt. No Delhi dirt. So now we have 16 types of earth. Now what are they going to do with it? After filling all these pots with water, flour, ghee, milk, and yogurt, they bathe Radha. A Rig Veda Brahmachari and a Samaveda Brahmachari bathed Radha in honey and kusa water respectively. So there were two Brahmacharis there. Brahmacharis means that they were like Brahma Kumaras. They were 9, 10 years old. Not yet men. So there are also two boys there. A Rig Veda Brahmachari and a Samaveda Brahmachari. When the Shanti mantras were chanted to remove all obstacles, Hari became more eager to meet Radha without any restrictions. What are those mantras? Shasti, shat, what do they chant to remove obstacles? Swasti nayam. Then, O Gandharva friend, look, while the Brahmacharis are chanting mantras, Purnamasi is holding a pot high in the air. Will Radha now become the ruler with the chanting of the Rajasuya mantra? After sprinkling fragrant kumkum powders on Radha, they use a golden sahasradhara. You know that pot they have, they hold over that tali, they hold over Radharani and all the rain goes through. 1,000 hold, like tali, golden. With 1,000 to create a rain shower effect to bathe her one after the other with herbs, scents, seeds, flowers, fruits, jewels, accompanied by mantras from the Jajurveda. The streams of glistening water falling from the Sahasradhara cannot be compared with anything in the 14 worlds. While the Brahmacharis chanted Rig Veda mantras, Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Param Sada Pashyanti Soyo Jajiva Chakswartatam Tavi Praso Jagivam Sasaminate Vishnu Yat Param Param. That's Rig Veda. One. I know one. Purnamasi put on put on a kusa grass ring, soaked her hands in gorochan, a yellow pigment derived from cows, and then, though blinded with tears of joy, she touched the head and throat of Radha. Amazing. She put on a purnamasi, because she's like yogi, she's a guru for all of Vrajvasis, Yogamaya. She put on a kusa grass ring. You wrap kusa grass around your ring. Then she washed her hands in gorochan. It's yellow. It's a yellow, bright yellow-green color, pigment. Comes from sometimes they say the hoof of the cow, but it's actually some organ, maybe gallbladder, something inside the cow. After they die naturally, they get it. And it's used in Sringhar. It's very fragrant also, greenish-yellow color. And it's very pure, purifying. So she, Purnamasi, rubbed her hands with gorochan. It's nothing to do with the hoofs of the cow, sometimes they say. It's a pigment secreted by some organ. So she rubbed her hands with this greenish-yellow color. And what did she do then? And then she cried. She was blinded with tears of joy. She touched the throat of Radharani. She touched Radharani's throat, and she touched her head, and left this some yellow mark there, auspicious mark. Just like in Hindu marriage, when a girl is going to be betrothed, they cover her hands with haldi, her palms of her hand, at least in tradition, in village tradition. This is Vedic tradition. You read that Pili Pukur Lila in Varsana. After completing the preliminary rites, Purnamasi desired to bathe Radha with pots of the 9 jewels. Coral, ruby, pearl, diamond, cat's eye, emerald, yellow sapphire, blue sapphire, and gomed. That's called Navaratna. To make the job easier, Purnamasi divided each of the 9 large pots into 5 smaller pots. People situated at various places held white umbrellas, chamaras, fans, and a jeweled scepter, a mace, and other royal insignia, in preparation for the first Abhishek. As the conscious kettle drums and singing roared in the background, the crowds moved back and forth in the hall, while restlessly waiting for the Abhishek. This is the preliminary purification rites. Now the first Abhishek. This is the first Abhishek. This is Purnamasi Ma speaking. O Beta, you are the chief among all the coward women. You should be bathed first with water. And in brackets it says, Adi Ras, Shringa Ras. Saying this, Purnamasi gave blessings, and Radha lowered her head in acceptance. The brahmacharis chanted Vedic mantras, while Radha, the joy of all eyes, was bathed with pots of water. So this is, she's lowering her head in acceptance. The brahmacharis chanted Vedic mantras, while Radha, the joy of all eyes, was bathed with pots of water. The effulgence from Radha's incomparably beautiful body appeared to bathe the assembly with showers of nectar. Now, this is the nature of God and His devotees. Whatever they're receiving, they're distributing. Whatever they are receiving, they're distributing. They aren't simply receptacles of service. They're receiving service and they're giving service. They're receiving love and they're distributing love. They're not, every agent, every entity, every unit of consciousness, every personality in the spiritual firmament is an agent of giving. Everyone is giving. So Purnamasi is giving a snan to Radharani in this first snan. And everyone's watching. So in one sense, only Radharani is being bathed. And there's maybe hundreds of Sakis, Mandris, and Gandharvas, and Devis gathered there. But then Radharani's thinking, oh, why should only I be bathed? Radharani's thinking, you should also be bathed. Because in the material world, someone is doing the sports. There's the sportsmen, or the sports ladies, whatever they call them, the athletes. Then there's the spectators. But they're simply watching the ball go back and forth and saying, ooh, ah. But they're not getting the thrill of the sport, or they're not actually on the gridiron or on the turf or on the tournament surface. But here, Radharani is the receptacle. She's receiving the honor, the distinction, the worship, the puja, the shringar of Purnamasi. But then but there's no spectators in Krishna's Leela. Everyone's part of the Leela. There's no spectators. There's no grandstands. There's no grandstands and people sit in the grandstand. Everyone's right there on the playing field. Everyone's a player. Everyone's a player. Everyone's active. Krishna's love is all-inclusive. No one is excluded from the circle of love. The Rasmandala has infinite circles. This circle, that circle. What is the first circle in the Rasmandala? Who's in the first circle? Mandala means circle. Who's in the first circle? Radhansham. Who's in the second circle? Ashtasakis. So what's Radharani doing? The effulgence from Radharani's incomparably beautiful body is bathing everyone in showers of nectar. Her jyoti, Radha jyoti, her effulgence, everyone's getting bathed. Purnamasi poured the water from the big jeweled pots into smaller pots. When the water fell upon Radha's limbs, it seemed that streams of elixir from the full moon were falling on the golden creeper forest on Uday Mountain. As the jeweled pots made the sound, jam, jam, as they would hit over Radha's head, did not the moon, praising her face, bathe her in streams of heavenly nectar? Purnamasi bathed Radha in water taken from the middle of a ruby pot. We all feel the topmost bliss to see the ruby of Radha's face. Radha appears most glorious being bathed by water from the ruby-studded pot. It seems that the waxing moon has assumed the role of a thousand-rayed sun as she emanates light at every second. Radha holds the reflected image of Krishna on her limbs, washed by the Abhishek water. And Krishna holds Radha's image reflected in the Abhishek water to his body. Was this Abhishek of Radha and Krishna in the forest of Braj twice as spectacular as that of Sita and Ram? Murari thinks, though Radha is purified internally of pride by the streams of my good qualities, she cannot give up the impurities of pride externally. Is Murari thus having Purnamasi and the others bathe Radha to remove those external impurities of her man? There's a lot of deep things here. Though there are two expert cultivators called Prema who water their crops of goosebumps with their tears, I praise the Prema in Radha because when her cultivator is made splendid by the Abhishek, she makes the cultivator water the goosebump fields of Hari as well. You have to read it to appreciate it. Radha's prema is special because his beauty causes Krishna's prema to increase. Then Stoka Krishna spoke to Krishna in a joking manner. Apparently some of the Ashtasakas are there also. There's eight Sakas that are very near to Krishna. They have kunjas around Shamakan. One of them is Stoka Krishna. He spoke in a joking mood. My dear friend, Priya Bandhu, you should not feel any reservation in looking at the Abhishek, because no one can detect your emotional changes. Everyone is too busy being overcome by the beauty of Vrishabhanu Nandini. So Stoka Krishna, who is Krishna's bosom buddy, he's one of the Ashtasakas, and he's sharing these moments of Sringar Ras with Krishna in some distant way. He understands the perturbations and changes in Krishna's heart, that Krishna's seen this Abhishek, and he's wondering, will this Abhishek wash away Radharani's man? But then that thought is creating tears in his eyes, and those tears are watering the crops of his own love. And he's starting to tremble, Krishna's trembling. So he wants to pause, stop looking at the Abhishek. And Stoka Krishna detects that, and he says, hey, wait, there's nobody here. No one's going to see that you're trembling and you're crying. I see it, but we're friends. Go ahead, look. Go ahead, look, look. Go ahead, look at Radharani's Abhishek, because he was looking down like this, out of shyness, thinking maybe, but who's there? Only Stoka Krishna, possibly, at this time. So he said, go, look. No one can detect your emotional changes. Prem vikar, sattvic vikar. Vikara means change, vikara. In response, Krishna, aiming at Radha's bow-like eyebrows, threw the arrow of his glance toward Radha, seated amidst the crowd of sakis. That's why I said there's Purnamasi and Uma and Chaya and Sangya and Arundhati and all these devis and gopis and sakis, and they're bathing, and Radharani's looking at them and smiling at them. Then there's a whole another arena of Leela, a whole other arena of Leela going on between, and it's all happening in the corner of Radharani's eyes, Radha Kripa Kataksha. In one corner of her eyes, there's a whole another dimension of Leela going on with her Shyam and Shringhar Ras. There's some slight separation because he's in a kunja, maybe 20 feet away, 30 feet away. But he's, every action that's happening, he's part of it. He's there. Purnamasi and Uma, they're simply his extensions. They're his Shakti. They're his Shaktis. Who is Purnamasi? Krishna Shakti. Who is Uma? They're all Krishna Shaktis. Parasya Shaktir Vavadaya Shruyate Svabhaviki Jnana Balakriya Cha. But they don't know it, because Yoga Maya is covered by her own Yoga Maya. Krishna's prema has covered Yoga Maya, so, or maybe she does know it. That's also there, because she arranges for all these things. Radhesham!
Radhesham!
So when Krishna got that encouragement, Stoka Krishna said, why are you looking away from Radharani? You're shy, you're not glancing at the Abhishek, because you're falling apart, you're breaking into pieces, your heart is soaring into limits of ecstasy that you can't contain. And you're trembling, you're crying, look, go ahead, look. So he said, all right, I'll look. And then he took an active role. He got some encouragement, he got some strength to fight in the battle of love. And the battlefield of love is his chariot driver, Stoka Krishna, encouraged him, no, fight. Release your arrow, yes, I'll release my arrow. So then he aimed at, okay, I'm going to aim at my opponent. So he aimed at the, because when there's the Mahabharata, one thing that the Kshatriyas do, they shoot the bow of the opponent, right? With 3 arrows, he shot his bow. With 2 arrows, he shot his flag. With 5 arrows, he shot his horse. And 10 arrows, he knocked his helmet off. They talk like this in the Mahabharata. You must have heard or seen on TV or something. So this was a battle, the battle of arrows, of love. So then, so Stoka Krishna, he stoked him up. His name is Stoka Krishna. He stoked his fires. His English word, stoke. Stoke the furnace. Throw some coal in there. So he was like, he was kind of defeated by Radharani's beauty and radiance and nectar. Hey, what's this? You're Ajit. You're Achyuta. You're Ajit. Stand and arm with yoga. Stand and fight, Krishna. Hey, wait a minute. That's my line. That's what Krishna told Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. But guess what? This is not the battlefield of Kurukshetra. This is the battlefield of prema. And this battlefield, Krishna always loses. Ananda Kanda Bhagavan ki, Vrishabhana Nandini Radha Rani ki jai, jai jai Shri Radhe, jai jai Shri Radhe, jai jai Shri Radhe. So he gets courage from his association. We get strength by association. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha. What is it? What there's potency about. Satam Prasangam Mamavirya Samvido. Satam Prasanga Mamavirya Samvido. Mamavirya, virya, strength, power. Satsang. Satsang is power, strength. So Krishna got satsang with his sakha. Stoka Krishna. So then it said he aimed. He aimed at the bow of Radharani. What's Radharani's bow? She's the enemy. She has a dangerous bow, Gandiva. Gandharva bow. Not Gandiva. Radharani has Gandharva, what do you say, bow? Danu. Gandharva Danu. Danu means bow, no? Danu. So this is Gandharva, Gandharvika Danu. Wow. Hey, I've got Arjuna had Gandiva, and she has Gandharva Danu. What do I have? Oh, I have something. My glance. Krishna Kripa Kataksha. So then he glanced. At that moment, Radha and Krishna and the Sakhi simultaneously experienced astounding love in their hearts. At that moment, when Krishna's sidelong glance contacted Radharani's eyebrow, Radharani felt incredible love, Krishna felt incredible love by that communion, and all the Sakhis and Mandris felt incredible love by their communion. Because they're Tadatmika, they're one with the heart of Radha and Krishna. So this is what I say, no one's a spectator, everyone's a player, no one's left out, everyone relishes together, everyone drinks together, everyone enjoys together. Equal distribution, this is the Audari aspect of Krishna Leela, distribution among the party members. Then Gaur comes and distributes to new party members, enlists new party members. That's the Audari Leela, Gaur's expression. But Radha and Krishna's Audharya, magnanimity, the love that's emanating in waves from their hearts, it breaks on the shores of the hearts of their followers and all their servants and sakis. So that's the Audharya, the magnanimity. The beauty, the selflessness. Look! All the assembled people who have different individual emotions taste their own ras and seeing the beautiful pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Because there's Gandharvas there, there's Kinnaras there, there's Kinnaris, there's Devis, and they have different types, Dasyaras, Sakiras, Madhurvas, different rasas in relation to the Bhagavan. So then they were also nourished in their own individual stayuratis, individual moods of love towards Bhagavan. Because it's all individual, and everyone has their individual experience of God. And it's unique and special and fulfilling. Every individual has a individual relationship with the one God. So this is being said here. How can they return to a normal state after once having entered the ocean of sweet love, the sustenance of their lives? The eyes of the Sakis absorbed in admiring the beauty of Radha's limbs, adorned with strings of pearls in the form of water drops, imitate her by decorating themselves with pearl strings of tears. We didn't have that experience. And their conch shell, there's a big conch shell, they're pouring water over Radharani. And the droplets of water are falling on Radharani. It looked like moti mala, strings of pearls. And the gopis saw that. So when the Sakhis saw the beauty of Radharani's form, transcendental form, illuminated through these crystalline drops of water, then they felt so much love and appreciation, happiness, they started crying. And their own tears, each drop of their tears collected together into a mala. Premashru mala. So it became like a mala of their tears. So Radharani was being decorated with it. They were being decorated themselves. So. One Sakhi said, "Oh Radha, do not look upon Hari, even by mistake, because a strong show of pride is the only way to invoke love." So some Sakhi must have seen Radharani glancing towards the kunja out of the corner of her eye. "Radharani, what is this? Why are you showing some favorability towards the Sham? You look the other way, like, ah, I'm getting bathed. You're there, I don't know, I don't care." So she, because she detects some diminishing, some dilution of Radharani's man, her contrary, her sulking mood, her proud mood. Hey, now or never. Now is the time when you are entitled to the fullest amount of pride, because you are being coronated as the queen of Vrindavan, Vrindavaneshwari. So when you are the king, you are proud. I am it. I am the king. The king is above the rules, above the law. The king can do no wrong. So she's saying, what's this now? Submission, looking at him? Stop. Receiving this unwelcome advice, Radha squinted her eyes and threw a chakra of anger at Shyamasundar. Hariva! Manini Radha ki jai! Manini Radha ki jai! Receiving this unwelcome advice, because Radharani, she doesn't, internally Radharani is Dakshin, but externally she's Prakara. Internally she's submissive and favorable, but externally she's contrary and opposing Krishna. She doesn't really like to be in Man, but Krishna likes it, so then the Sakis say, do it. All right. If it's for Krishna, then I'll do it, but I really don't like it. So she's always caught between two sides, pulling in two directions. Yes, man, no man. Yes, man, no man. That's why it says, receiving this unwelcome advice. But she couldn't go against the advice, although it doesn't say, probably the advice was from Lalita Sakhi Ki Jai. So then she said, yes, sir. Krishna is controlled by the love of his devotees. Radha is controlled by the love of her devotees. Krishna was looking shyly on his own, and his coward boy friend Stoka Krishna said, what is this? You're looking down, being defeated? Ah, fight back? Shoot your arrows? Oh, all right. And then he shoots his glance at Radharani's eyebrow. Then Radharani perceives that, and she's relishing that union and that bliss of sambhog with Krishna. Then the Sakhi says, what's this? She's giving up her man. Hey! Okay. Then she throws a chakra back at Krishna. Krishna shot an arrow. Remember, Krishna shot the vana aksha, the arrow of his glance, and hit her eyebrow. And she submitted. Oh, okay. Then the Sakhi says, what's this? Now you're becoming submissive. And so, you throw arrow, I throw chakra. What's more powerful? Chakra. Radha chakra. Invincible. Achyuta Krishna, katam hogya. Ajit Krishna is nirajit. Radha squints her eyes and throws a chakra of anger. A crowed chakra. Crowed chakra. She throws at Shyamasundara. Curtains closed. Scene one. Abhishek one. We're reading with curiosity. There's suspense. Radharani threw an arrow. Krishna threw an arrow. Radharani was, Hi. You throw an arrow? I'll throw a chakra. Radha throws a chakra. Now we don't hear any more news about Krishna. Krishna Samacharhogya. Krishna Kaham. Where did he go? What happened? You throw a chakra, something happens. Ask Shishupal. If you can find him. Find his head at least. The head speaks, right? So you ask Shishupal, what happened? Krishna threw a chakra and what happened? You lost your head. So Radharani threw a chakra, so what's going to happen to Krishna? Now, we've heard about Krishna threw an arrow at Radharani, Radharani through a chakra. We heard about Stoka Krishna. We heard about some sucky giving some unfavorable news, unwelcome advice. But what about the audience? What about Chayo and Sangya and Uma and the rest of the gang, as they say? What's happening to them? Well, the camera pans over there, and camera three on the audience. The corners of the eyes of the crowd are filled with tears, but their eyes were not yet full of rust from the festival. To accomplish this task, Purnamasi made Uma fill a pot with water, which is rust, and pour out streams of rust on Radha. Soaked by the cloud of Vrindavan, Radha became the field of love for Krishna's pastimes. Oh, that's beautiful. When a cloud comes over in the sky and rains on the field, on the land, the field, the kshetra, then that becomes a place where you grow, where you can grow crops, because the water falls and nourishes the seeds, and the seeds produce crops. So the rain is that water, this. And then Radha, when the water is being poured on Radharani, Radharani is a kshetra, prem kshetra. The water is in the cloud, hits the soil, the earth, and from the earth comes the plants and flowers. So Radharani is the earth. She's a recipient of the water, of the Abhishek, prem kshetra Radha. So from, and the water falls, Uma, who's Uma? Parvati. She's pouring this water over Radharani. And now she's become a field, a prem kshetra. For whom? For Krishna's pastimes, because you need a stali, a sthan, a kshetra to have lila. Jiva Goswami ki jai. Nourished by the beauty. It's all an analogy about water, growing crops. How do fields get nourished? Well, they get nourished by more rain or sunshine and heat and light, and then the fields become strong and they grow. Nourished by the beauty of Krishna, Radha's beauty produces fruits and sprouts that madden the bees of our eyes. This is so deep. This is Madhurya Shastra par excellence. This is the topmost. It's one of the last things that Jiva Goswami contributed. Unbelievable. So Krishna's admiring this whole beauty of Radharani's second Abhishek, and that beauty is nourishing Radha's, increasing her beauty, because when Krishna looks at Radha, this is an Adi 4, Chaitanya Charitamrita. When Krishna glances lovingly at Radha, because he's so much appreciating her loving posture and countenance, and then Radha receives Krishna's glance, and that enhances her love and increases her prema, and then her beauty increases potentially. What do they say? What's that word?
Exponentially.
And then when Radha's love increases and Krishna sees the return gift of Radharani's increased beauty in her face and countenance, then his love increases. So nourished by Krishna's glance and by that beauty of Krishna, then Radharani's beauty produces fruits and sprouts that madden the bees of our eyes. So the speaker, our, who's speaking here, is the Sakhi, Vilas Mandri, Jiva Goswami. So the sprouts, the earth, when the rain falls on the earth and the sprouts are the grass, when Radharani perceives the beauty of Krishna, she feels a sattvic vikara called romancha, romancha kampa ashruta. So then her body the hairs on her body start to stand on end. So that's why it's saying that the field of Radharani's body, which is a field of love for Krishna's pastimes, nourished by the beauty of Krishna, Radharani's field of her body is producing fruits and sprouts that madden the bees of our eyes. So when the bees see, in other words, the hairs on Radharani's body are standing up. Her body means a field of prema pastimes. And the mandris are seeing that. And their bee-like eyes, Ali. Because Ali means sucky and Ali means bee. The word Ali. Aliak or whatever, Ali Chakshu. They're becoming maddened by seeing Radharani's Prem Vikara. It's called Satvik Vikara. So when one is in this Bhavalas Rati, or in the mood of a Manjari, then he reads all these things, it's too much anukul for his attachment and his feelings of service and love for Radharani and the Sakya Manjaris. Because this book is written by a Manjari. So you want to know how Manjaris think and feel and see, then all these things are hidden all in here. Before bathing Radha a second time, Uma and her associates first bathe their own bodies with their tears. Before the pujari does puja, he has to take a bath, snan. And then he does, not only takes a bath to bathe his body, but then he does nyas to purify his senses and all these things, all different mudras to purify his indriyas and his angali and his indriyas are purified by nyas, different mudras and mantras. And then he has to purify his psychology, his mind. It's called bhuta shuddhi. The elements of the body, linga shrir and sukshma shrir, gross and subtle body, have to become purified. So there are mantras, and there's achman and mantras and snan. And then he's somewhat eligible to touch the transcendental vigraha, the archivigra of the Lord of Radha and Krishna, and do puja. So the Sri Jiva Goswami Pad is saying that Uma and all of her associates are bathing Radharani the second time. They're bathing themselves first with their tears of love. Now Uma speaks. Oh, Beta, I am bathing you a second time to make you the unequaled beloved of Krishna, who is one without a second. With this blessing, that's the end of her quote, with this blessing, like the second phase of the moon, Radha emanated a matchless splendor. Uma took pure water from a large coral pot and filled smaller coral pots. Look, as she pours water on Radha, Radha's beauty and the beauty of the pot combine to create a new beauty. O Sakhi, the pot above is shining like the sun, and the streams of water falling out of it are the sun's rays. Below that are the dark clouds of Radha's hair. Below that is the moon of her face. Below that is the creeper of Radha's limbs. The king of pots called Padma, or coral, that's the name for coral, is bathing Radha. Radha, who trembles in fear at the name of Padma, gives us happiness as she assumes the role of the queen of earth. So the name, the Sanskrit name for coral, I think maybe it's praval also. Praval in Hindi is praval. Praval. Praval means coral. But it's Padma. And Padma and Shaivya are the two main Vipaksha Sakis of Chandravali's group. So they're kind of playing. And generally, Radharani wouldn't want to be anywhere near Padma or even the name Padma. Now Padma is bathing her. Because everything's personified. As you know, everything is conscious in the spiritual world. Everything is consciousness and alive. So the pot is Padma. Oh, Padma, but all right, for my coronation, I'll accept it. Otherwise, Padma. I don't like the name, the idea, anything of Padma. Very interesting. The bodily effulgence of Radha, which spreads throughout the universe, revealed ever fresh beauty on the occasion of this festival, and turned everything in the mandap yellow. The streams of falling water shine like the Ganga on Mount Sumeru and appear like showers of personified punya. Devi, seeing this abhishek, you must give up all pride, thinking yourself so complete and generous. These pots are not ordinary, because they continuously pour water. Will the pots and the tears fill up this assembly hall? Smiling Hari, now, that's the audience and Uma and the bathing, and the camera's there, camera three, now camera one, back on Hari. And what's he up to? during his second Abhishek. We left him off at the conclusion of the first Abhishek. He was struck with a chakra on the battlefield of love. And we didn't hear anything. His charioteer took him off the battlefield somewhere. He's been silent. There's not a word coming from his department. He's taken some time to recover. He went to freshen up, as they say. Spent a few hours sleeping up there. I mean, freshening up. And then, now he comes back. And what does he do? He's smiling. So he's still alive. The chakra didn't dismantle him too much. Smiling Hari with the arrow of his glance. Uh-oh, he's back to his arrows. I guess that chakra didn't break his arrows and bow. He got the arrow of his glance and he broke the lotus-like soft bodice of Radha. With the arrow, he broke the lotus-like soft bodice of Radha, which had become loose from the constant onslaught of water. Then Radha, bold and ras, arched her bow-like eyebrow and quickly devastated Krishna. Because there was so much water being poured over her bathing outfit, her thin white bathing outfit, maybe her blouse or bodice was getting loose, and Krishna was noticing that it was slipping, so he shot an arrow there to make it slip some more. And Radharani said, "Wait, Hare, what do you think you're doing?" Tung! She shot an arrow back. Now, what happened? It's quite a fight going on. Krishna was devastated. Krishna secretly caught the corner of Radha's eyes. Their eyes met, but Radha quickly withdrew her eyes. Ajayashri Radha ki. Jai. Krishna withdrew his eyes too. But then Radha glanced at him. The divine couple engaged in a game, withdrawing and attacking in a battle of glances. This is a beautiful book. They engaged in the game. This is all going on in the corners of their eyes. And everyone else, Uma, they don't know. They're absorbed in the Abhishek, the coronation of Radharani. All the rituals and the kusa grass and this Abhishek and that Abhishek. Radharani said, okay, this is all arranged by Shyam to love me and to honor me. So I know he's there, I'm here, and we're engaging all of you in some service. That's for your benefit. You're getting to bathe us. We don't need, it's a lila, so somehow Krishna wants you to take part, so Purnamasi's invited you all down. When it's over, we'll kick you out and throw you out and never invite you again. So take advantage of the good times while they last. O Mukunda, when you are with your friends, why do you secretly glance at the lotus face of Radha? Don't be shy. When the bee of your attractive glance meets the lotus face of Radha's face, everyone becomes bewildered. So this was spoken by another Ashtasaka of Krishna named Vasant. There's Kinkini and Vasant and Ujwala and Subal and Stoka Krishna. These are the Ashtasakas. So he uttered this privately in a joking manner. Krishna increased his absorption in Radha's face. Krishna's left eye collided with his right eye. That's like when you see cross-eyed. Collide means collision. And boom. Boom. He's looking right around his face. Because it's first, it's stepwise. His friend said, "Why are you looking?" She looked at you. You glanced at her and she glanced at you and she looked away and you looked away. Can't bear the beauty, can't bear the power. Prem Prabhava of Radharani's face. And Vasant says, "Hey, Hari, before you looked and everyone relished, said, come on. I said, "All right." So then when he absorbed himself looking at Radha's face and his left eye crashed into his right eye, indicating some internal conflict. He was definitely anxious about something. He was going cross-eyed. So the desire to see Radha versus Krishna's hesitation because of the presence of the elders. Look, friend, previously the Sakhi's eyes were like bees, and Radhakrishna's love was a lotus. Now look, the lotus is opening, and the bees are flying quickly towards the lotus in bliss. Radha, in this world you are the queen of all women. This is well known, even for your own pleasure. Do not make the slightest, even for your own pleasure, you do not make even the slightest advances towards Krishna. Hearing this, Radha became stunned due to her intense desires, of course, to please Krishna.